And Father, we affirm in our hearts and our minds this morning that your name is wonderful. And Father, today we pray that you would speak to us through your word. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. Prophet Isaiah writes in times in his time of political chaos and wickedness. During the time that he writes, there's a religious life and culture that focuses on ritual and ceremony more than on the presence and the person of God. He writes to a nation that's moving toward disaster. There are enemies all around them. And he's writing out of a personal grief in his own life as a friend and mentor, and King Uzziah has died. And in this time, God comes to Isaiah some 500 years before the event. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah looks through and looks forward through the binoculars of prophecy and sees the first Christmas. Isaiah here speaks about people who are walking in great darkness, but they will see a great light. He talks about how this light will dawn on those living in a land shrouded with that darkness. He's looking into the future, and he's actually saying to the nation, hey, things are going to get darker than what they are now. We are a people that are walking in darkness. But in spite of this darkness, he says to them, the nation will be enlarged. And one day, in spite of all the chaotic circumstances, there will come an increase in the joy. There will come practically a harvest time where there had been famine and spoils will be divided. The oppression and the oppressor will be shattered. The remains of war will be burned and fuel for fire. All this will lead to a victorious army, will be led by not by a victorious army, but it will lead to a child. And Isaiah declares, all of this is going to happen when the child is born. He says, for a child will be born for us, and a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be named. And then Isaiah gives us four names of this child. We know this child is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born in a manger in Bethlehem. But through the binoculars of prophecy, Isaiah saw this child with four different names that proclaimed a message that this child was going to come and give an impact, that this child was going to have on the world and on all of our lives. And the four names were Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. He goes on to say that from this child, the dominion of his kingdom will never end. It will be the kingdom of David's throne. Prosperity will never end over his kingdom. He will establish and sustain it. Justice and righteousness where oppression and the oppressor once ruled. Justice and righteousness would be for now and forever, and God would accomplish it. For Isaiah, the hope of the nation and the world for all of history would be in this child, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And these four names, Isaiah describes not only who he is, but what he has come to do. And in those days, Isaiah looked forward to a better day. And that's what Isaiah was saying to the nation of Israel. He was saying there's a better day coming. A better day is going to come through this child. Today, we know and experience Jesus, and we understand that when Jesus lives in our hearts and when Jesus is a part of our life, it is a better day for us. And in these four names that Isaiah outlined here for this child that would be born to us, the son that would be given. We see a message for Christmas. These names would sum up the child's character and the impact he would have on all of us. No matter how dark or chaotic or lonely or hopeless our environment may seem, or how dangerous and unpredictable our world becomes, Christmas shouts to us, there's hope for tomorrow. In these four names, we can look forward to Christmas in hope of a better day. Over these holidays, over these days in December, I want us to look each Sunday at a different name that Isaiah gives to Jesus and to this child that will be born for us, and see how it impacts us this Christmas season, and see the message that God is trying to speak to us through Isaiah and through these names for us this Christmas. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. There are ever times when you just sit back and say, man, I could usually really use a good counselor right now. I don't know about you, but I've had some good counselors in my life, but they have all never been perfect because they're human beings. They all had their biases. Sometimes they said things that didn't really pertain to me. But all in all, most of the time, counselors helped me, because counselors helped me to think about my situation and where I needed to be. They gave me valuable tools of how to think through my problems and understand them. But here, when Isaiah talks about a wonderful counselor, in his day, counselors were mostly political in nature. Most of the counselors that existed for the kings. And when the kings needed some counsel, when they needed some advice, they would go to their political counselors and ask them what they thought. Today, we think of someone who is a counselor as someone who helps us to get through difficult times. We usually don't look for counselors when we are feeling good or about to, or feeling good about our lives, or when we know the answers to what's coming. We seek them when we are confused, conflicted, and hurt, and when our life seems to be enveloped with darkness. And I think it's a valuable thing for us to understand this Christmas, that even back when Isaiah was saying, a child will be born, a son will be given, and you will call him Wonderful Counselor, that it is a message for us today. I don't know what might be going on in your life. I have a feeling that every person in this room this morning brought some kind of concern that was on their heart. They brought some kind of a burden that they're carrying for a family member, for themselves, for their family, for the world. A lot of us this morning came here with a heavy load, and we need someone to help us with it. And what Isaiah was saying 500 years before his birth is that Jesus is going to be that someone who can help you with every situation in your life. He has come to be a helper no matter what you're experiencing. He has come to help you through whatever you are facing. He is there for you. Christmas shouts to us that there is hope for a better tomorrow. So, this morning, let's think together about what it means to have a wonderful counselor. I think there are a lot of characteristics for a wonderful counselor. One is that a wonderful counselor will listen to us with compassion. Some of the best counselors I've had weren't the counselors that talked the most, but that listened the most to me. And they listened with compassion. Remember the story about Jesus getting ready to pass through Jericho, and he was walking down the road. At first, far off, there was this faint cry. A faint cry. Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And the closer Jesus got to where this cry was coming from, the louder it was. The crowd had pressed in around him. And as he was walking, there was a blind beggar crying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Some in the crowd went to the blind beggar and said, would you please be quiet? You're disturbing us. Others just ignored the cry. But Jesus didn't. Jesus listened with compassion, stopped where the blind man was, and Bartimaeus, there by the side of the road, who understood that probably his only hope was for Jesus to pay some attention to him, for Jesus to be the wonderful counselor and to listen compassionately to his cry. To his amazement, Jesus stopped and asked, what do you want? And Bartimaeus said, I want my sight. I want to be able to see. That day, Jesus heard him in a compassionate way and was moved to work in his life and gave him his sight back. He's a wonderful counselor. He listens with compassion. And so that should be us. Every one of us who have Jesus Christ in our heart and life, we should strive to be that kind of compassionate counselor where we hear the cries of the world and we hear the outcry of those who are having problems, and we don't just try to tell them to be quiet, and we don't just try to ignore them, but we try to engage them and introduce them to Jesus, who is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. A wonderful counselor listens with compassion. This Christmas, one good goal for all of us is to listen to one another with some compassion. You know, it seems like at Christmas time, our problems are amplified. Situations in our life that we struggle over get amplified, and many times depression is so easily comes into our life. And what we need, and what those who go through those kinds of times is to need, is some brothers and sisters like us to be able to compassionately listen to them and direct them toward Jesus and to pray for them and to compassionately listen. But also a wonderful counselor helps us to interpret our problems in a new light. Sometimes our problems really become old, don't they? They just seem to always be there. When we get up in the mornings, we're faced with them. When we go to bed at night, we think about them the last before we go to sleep. Then we're reminded all through the day, especially if some of our friends know what we're going through, because we're constantly being asked, how are things going? How's that situation for you? And it just brings it all back. It's good to have friends who are concerned. It's good to have friends who ask how things are going. But we tend to sometimes always look at our problems through the lenses of our eyes, through the past and through everything we've experienced up to then. And sometimes we just need to come to Jesus and to say, Lord, help me to see my problem today in a new light. Jesus can do that. We need to come to Jesus many times and say, Lord, help me to see my circumstances and situations, not through my own eyes, but through your eyes. What are you trying to do in my life? What are you trying to show me? How are you trying to lead me? The counselors of Isaiah's day, many only relied on human perspectives and sometimes even superstitions. Sometimes they'd cast lot to make decisions. Sometimes they would cast lots to tell the king what he should do. But a good counselor looks at the situation and tries to shed new light on what's going on. And the only way some of us can get that new light is to understand how Jesus looks at what's going on in my life. The Pharisees in Jesus' day believed that self-righteousness was the way to God. That's how they saw everything. And every problem that a person experienced was probably because there was sin in their life. or because there was some kind of unrighteousness in their life, and that they just needed to become more righteous. And the way you became more righteous is that you lived more by the law. But Jesus brought a new light on that. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to call people to repent. He didn't come to say, you should do this and you should do that. No, he came and said, look, the secret to having a righteous life first begins by repentance. When you see how short you come, and when you understand that you can't get your righteousness by yourself, and you come before God and you say, God, I have failed you, and I've failed myself, and I come in repentance, and I want to turn from my sin and turn to you. And in that repentance, God meets you, and you begin to see your problems in a different light. Jesus brings that new light to us when we come to him in repentance and faith. And we come to him and place our faith and trust in him. And we come to God and seek his perspective and are willing to see our lives from where he is and not just from where we are. How many times do we need to see that Christmas is not a time to get, but it's a time to give and to share and to sacrifice? We sometimes need to see Christmas in a different light. Christmas is more than just family. It's more than just getting together and watching little children open gifts. Although that's fun, Christmas is a time when we look at a manger and realize the price that God, in the depths that God went to send his own son for us. And that little baby in the manger would one day die on a cross for you and I. So a counselor, a wonderful counselor, is one who helps us to interpret our lives in a new light and listens to us with compassion, and Jesus does that. And it reminds us that even this Christmas, we need to be that kind of counselor as well. What would we say to our neighbors and those around us who are going through tough times and have chosen us to share what's going on in their life? How would we make a difference in their life if we first, before we told them what we thought, we went to God in prayer and said, Lord, help me to help them to see you in this situation? But also a wonderful counselor confronts us with the truth. Sometimes a counselor tells me things that I don't want to hear. He tells me what I need to hear. Remember the story of the rich young ruler who walked up to Jesus one day and said to Jesus, Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? The rich young ruler wasn't really interested in what Jesus could do, but he was interested in what he could do because he was a high achiever. Jesus pointed him to the Ten Commandments. How have you done on the Ten Commandments? He said, oh, I've kept all of them. I've not violated one. And then Jesus looked into his eyes, probably noticed the really nice Armani suit he was wearing with, you know, the really expensive tie clasp and the expensive, what are those called? Cufflinks. I never have had them, so I couldn't remember them. He probably saw the bag that the young man was carrying and how expensive it was. He said, you know, there's one thing you lack. Go sell everything you've got and follow me. What did the scripture say? The young man walked away saddened because he was rich. And his riches meant more to him than following Jesus. And he walked away. It's amazing that day that Jesus didn't try to dumb down the gospel for him. He could have looked and said, man, this young man can bring great things to my organization. He has money and he looks good. He could be a good face for what I'm about to do. No. What he wanted this young man to do is to have a genuine experience with the Father. And he knew the only way he could do that is to come to a conclusion where everything he had meant less than his relationship with God. And instead of making a special deal for his loyalty, a special deal for him to follow, Jesus stuck to his guns and said, if you want to follow me, you have to give everything up for it. We don't like to hear that, do we? We don't like to hear those kind of deals. We are not really great on unconditional surrender. We want Jesus to make a deal with us sometimes, but he won't. You see, Jesus was a wonderful counselor because he was willing to speak the truth, even when sometimes those who were seeking the truth really did not want to hear it. There are truths about ourselves, at least about me, that I would like to ignore, that I have really become a good rationalizer about, and that I would just like people to forget. But what we need to understand is we all need a wonderful counselor who will confront us with the truths that can change our life. I am so grateful that my father, when I was 9 years old, told me as a 9-year-old that the reason I didn't have a relationship with God was because I was a sinner and I was going to go to hell. How dare he tell a 9-year-old boy that? He could have dramatized me for the rest of my life. But I'm grateful he did, because I realized that the only way I could have an experience with Jesus was to repent, ask him into my life, and call on him to save me from hell. You see, we need someone to tell us the truth about where we are spiritually. Our whole world needs somebody like that. We need somebody that can tell us the truth about our level of commitment to the Lord Jesus. Is it where it needs to be? We need somebody to challenge us on our commitment to stewardship. We need someone to challenge us on how we witness to our friends and neighbors and to the kind of lifestyle we live, and how is that influencing others for the Lord or in another direction. We need a wonderful counselor who is willing to tell us the truth, and Jesus Christ always tells us the truth because he is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without truth, there's no life. If he fails to give us the truth, we'll never find the way of life. He is a wonderful counselor because he always confronts me with the truth about myself. I am so glad that Jesus carries a mirror, and he's always willing to hold it up in front of my face and show me who I am. And every time he does, it helps me come to the point where I realize I need to repent and allow him to change me. The last thing I want us to see about a wonderful counselor is that he not only gives us the truth about ourselves, and he not only sheds new light upon our problems and situations, and he not only compassionately listens to us when we're hurting, but he expects us to take responsibility. A wonderful counselor refuses to excuse our behavior or blame others for it. He calls us to exercise responsibility and to give us hope. Remember that day when the scribes and Pharisees had discovered a woman who was caught in adultery, and they had gathered her up and they had herded her down on the main street where Jesus was, and they threw her in front of Jesus, and they were fully expecting to have a stoning that day. And they told Jesus, "We caught this woman in the act of adultery, And the scripture tells us we should stone her. Scripture tells us that Jesus bent down and began to write in the sand. I often wonder what he wrote there. We come up with a lot of possibilities. But as he wrote, I think he was just giving his Father a chance not only to work in him, but to work in them. And he looked at those who were accusing the woman and he said, "Those of you who are without sin, you cast the first stone." And as they stood there, one by one, those Jewish scribes and Pharisees began to walk away. And soon all the accusers were gone, and this woman was left in the presence of Jesus. And notice what he said to her. He didn't say, "Lucky you, you're off the hook." No, as a wonderful counselor, he asked her, "Where are those who accuse you?" And he said, "Neither do I accuse you." And he said, "Go and sin no more." He put the responsibility right at her feet. "You have been given another chance. Now be responsible for what God has given you. Go and sin no more." He was a wonderful counselor. The wonderful counselor will lead those he helps to take responsibility for their life. Jesus promises to give what is needed to overcome anything that we walk through. He is a wonderful counselor. Christmas brings us to this kind of counsel. We all may need this kind of counsel as we go through the Christmas season or encounter someone in our life, in our walk that is needing this kind of counsel. Jesus is a wonderful counselor who is our help in all situations, no matter what they are. Look at Jesus' life, his words, his ministry, to help us know how to face every situation. Jesus is willing to help us. But you know, there's one other thing about Jesus being a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor, but he does something for us that no other counselor could or would probably do. Jesus looks into our life and he sees our need and he realizes there's one need that only he can meet, and the only way he can meet it is by giving his life for us. And so this wonderful counselor becomes a wonderful Savior who is willing to put his life on the cross, die for our sins, and in return offer us eternal life. And in the meantime, to be that wonderful counselor who continues to compassionately listen to us, who continues to give us the truth about ourselves, who continues to shed light on our problems so that we can walk through them and get help for them, and he continues to bring us back to responsibility. And this Jesus on the cross calls us to repentance. That's what I call you to this morning. So we come to the Lord's Supper table and we celebrate what he's done for us, the blood that he shed for us on the cross, the body that was broken for us. Let's remember what he's done for us and how he has saved us from our greatest problem that no other counselor had the answer for. That's our sin. Let's pray. Father, we ask you today that as we come to the Lord's Supper table, that we would come with worthy spirit, worthy hearts. And Father, that you would speak to us as we remember what you've done for us on the cross. And we ask this in your name. Amen. I'm going to ask our men to come forward. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we come to this time and we remember how you gave your body for us. And we remember, Father, that day when we gave our life to you. And Father, we thank you that you are truly the bread of life. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I am the bread of life." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father, thank you that you died for us, that you took our place. There is nothing left for us to do except receive you. So, Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us through Jesus on the cross. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. Thank you. Thanks. We have one item of business we need to take care of before we leave today. This is going to be fun. And Brother Ron?
One item, as he says, to deal with this special morning. So I'm going to call the business meeting to order. We will dispense with any reading of minutes and or financial reports and take care of one item of new business. We have an application for membership request, and the elders have met with them, and they meet the requirements of with their testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and having been baptized by immersion. The requirements of our Constitution have been set, so the Elder Board brings to you the recommendation that Marty and Diane Wilcox be accepted into the membership of Christ Church. May I have a motion to that effect? Motion by Lonnie, moved by Terry, seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same side? This meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
I'll say one more thing, Pastor.
Yes.
I would ask Marty and Diane if at the end of the service you would make your way to the back with Pastor so that the folks at Christ Church can extend to you the right hand of fellowship.
All right. Let's stand. Come and lead us in a song, Brother Ken.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Sing that again, church.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Amen.